Barnabas actually prophesied over Saul's potential. Barnabas prophesied over his potential. He spoke up for him. And this is what we get to do. You know, that when other people see problems, we see potential and we see the opportunity to prophesy over someone's potential. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and my husband, Todd, and I pastor Christ Fellowship Church together. The So Good Sisterhood podcast is all about investing in every girl from every generation to live intentionally, lead confidently, and love generously. And hopefully, it will leave you saying, "That was so good." Hey everyone, welcome back to the So Good Sisterhood podcast. I'm your host, Julie Mullins, and I am so glad that you're joining us today. I want to give a big shout out to all of you who keep coming back, subscribing, and spreading the word about our podcast on social media with your girls. Seriously, your support really means the world to us. You could be spending your time anywhere, and we're just so honored that you would spend it with us. Well, this season, we've been taking a deep dive into our word of the year, the word encounter. An encounter is just that face-to-face meeting with God, and we have been hearing some amazing testimonies of other people's encounters, and they have just inspired us to want to lean in to experience all that God has for us. And today I'm really excited because I'm going to be talking about something I'm pretty passionate about, and I have my good friend Carissa Robinson here in the studio, and we're going to continue our conversation that we've been having all season long about encountering God. Welcome, Carissa.
Hey, Pastor Julie, so glad to be with you today. I've seriously been loving these conversations.
Yeah, it's been so good, and I'm excited because today we're going to be kind of flipping it a little bit and talking about how our encounter can open the door for other people to have theirs.
It's so good.
So let's jump into the conversation.
Yeah, I can't wait to have this conversation. We're going to kick it off with talking about one of the most epic encounters of all time that's found in the New Testament. In fact, this encounter, I think, is still encountering us today. This encounter literally birthed the early church. So Pastor Julie, why don't you kick us off with that encounter?
Yeah, so let me just give you a little bit of background. Before Jesus showed up on planet Earth, the presence of God was actually limited. It was limited to specific people for specific tasks in the Old Testament. Prophets that would speak certain words at a certain time, or when someone was called to do something like Moses, the Spirit of God showed up like a cloud during the day and fire by night. But the Spirit of God was also limited to a place, and that was the temple. And when the temple was built, it was built for that very reason, to actually house the presence of God. Well, when the day that Jesus was crucified, the curtain in the temple was torn. The Holy Spirit actually left the building. And 50 days later, the Holy Spirit shows up in this upper room where there were 120 people that were waiting, didn't even know what they were waiting for. They were waiting for God's presence to show up. And now the presence of God would no longer be limited to one place, but it would be unleashed into a people so that it could be carried into every place on the earth. And in that moment, when the Holy Spirit was unleashed into his people, we became the temple of the living God. We became this temple. And during that day, the day of Pentecost, 120 people became 3,120 in one day. And it was actually the birth of the New Testament church. And that encounter shapes every encounter that we have week in and week out. It made it possible for us to actually experience and carry the Holy Spirit in us.
That is a pretty epic encounter. Yeah. And we've said this over and over again in all of our different episodes about this word encounter, that an encounter requires a response. Mm-hmm. And I love that if you read on to Acts chapter 2, it talks about the early church's response to this epic encounter that they had with the Holy Spirit. The scriptures say that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They shared everything they had. They had a genuine commitment to prayer. They sold everything they had and shared with everyone in need. They were in awe of God. They saw many signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. I mean, this encounter changed everything. It was a bunch of ordinary people who had an encounter with God, and it caused them to live out this extraordinary, life-giving, attractive, and really contagious lifestyle, right? It changed everything. But there was one person that really sticks out to you when you read and teach about this story in Acts. I'd love for you to share us a little bit about
that.
Because
when you think about like the New Testament church, we automatically think about the 11 apostles, the spiritual giants, the ones who had been with Jesus, but the word of God is just so kind to us to paint a picture of just these ordinary people, 3,120 ordinary people, right, who did something extraordinary. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 36, it actually gives us an example of who one of these guys were. He was not an apostle. He wasn't a priest or a prophet. He was actually a business guy, you know, a volunteer, a dream team volunteer for all you dream teamers out there.
Come on, shout
in
out.
The church. And the scripture says this. It says, for instance, there was this guy named Joseph, the one the apostles called Barnabas, the son of encouragement. And I love that. That son of encouragement, that word Barnabas means son of encouragement. That means his mother named him Joe, but everybody that knew him, they called him Barnabas because this is who he was. Like, this was his reputation. He was known for encouragement. And just so you know, that word encouragement doesn't just mean like a really good pat on the back, right? It actually has a much deeper meaning. The Greek word of encouragement in the scripture is paraklesis. And I'm not going to go too in depth, but that word paraklesis actually means to advocate for, to strengthen, to come alongside. And that word paraklesis is the same root word as the Holy Spirit. So what the scripture is saying is that Barnabas, he was an advocate. He came alongside. He strengthened other people. And when you think about it, that word is the same as the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? It helps us to become someone that we could never become on our own. And I love this. See, for Barnabas, it wasn't just what he did. This was who he was. This encouragement and that he gave to people, the strengthening, the way he came alongside, this was his reputation. And because of his reputation, it gave him this credibility.
I love it. I love you brought this word to our mm-hmm. staff and you really challenged us with this guy, Barnabas, Joe, yeah. right? And yeah. this son of encouragement. In fact, for all the girls listening, you can be called a daughter of encouragement.
That's right.
I think you said
Doe. D-O-E, Doe, daughter of encouragement.
I love it. I love it. But when we talk about encouragement, we're really talking about giving courage, right? That's mm-hmm. what encouragement yeah. is. And there are some people who are just naturally really encouraging. They lift the room. Mm-hmm. They change the environment. I love encountering people like
yeah.
this. They just change everything about the space or the place that you're in. Pastor Julie, you're Doe. But you actually coined this phrase that I'd love for us to spend some time talking about, and that's the Barnabas way.
Yeah.
The Barnabas way, which really is just kind of living out this mm-hmm. reputation of encouragement.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would love for you to unpack this, the Barnabas way.
Well, first of all, I think that when you look at the Barnabas way, this was about his reputation, not his position. He didn't have any social standing. You know, he was not a big leader in the church. He was an ordinary guy who just, like, his reputation was that he was going to strengthen and come alongside. And when you think about his reputation, actually gave him this position of influence. And one of the things that he did that many of you may not know about is that he actually opened doors that someone could not open for themselves. And we should think about that for a minute, because for those of you not familiar with the story, Paul, who was actually the writer of most of the New Testament books, we would say that he was really the carrier of this movement, this encounter that happened in the day of Pentecost, the New Testament church. He carried that movement. He planted most of the churches in the New Testament.
Kind of a big deal.
He was kind of a big deal, right?
Yeah.
So Paul was kind of a very big deal.
Yeah.
And he was the carrier of the movement. But what you may not know is that there was a moment when the movement almost got taken out before it got started. And that was this moment in the book of Acts, because Paul, who was formerly known as Saul, the Christian killer, after his radical transformation and on the road to Damascus, he actually shows up in the book of Acts chapter 9. And in Acts chapter 9, he shows up in Jerusalem because he wants to meet with the apostles. He's like, hey, I actually am one of you. Like, he had a lot of confidence, right? Not a lot of wisdom, but he was like, I actually want to be one of you. I want to preach the gospel. And he shows up in Jerusalem, but they will not meet with him because they're afraid of him because he's been killing their friends, right? They wouldn't meet with him. In Acts 9:26, it says that they were afraid of him. In Acts 9:27, it says that Barnabas actually took hold of Paul and brought him to the apostles and tells the apostles what Paul had done, begins to tell them all the great things that he had encountered, the Holy Spirit. He's a changed man. And then in Acts verse 28, so you got 26, they're afraid. 27, he takes hold of Paul, brings him to the apostles. Then verse 28, it says that Saul stays with the apostles and goes around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the Lord. So, in other words, he is on the preaching team, like two verses later. And you think about what in the world gave him that much credibility, that it was because of his reputation that he had already gained with the apostles, of being this son of encouragement. He gained influence even though he didn't have position. And Barnabas, with his influence, he actually opened a door for Paul to step into his calling. He made a way for Paul. I mean, think about it, all the New Testament books that would have never been written, all the churches that would have never been planted if Barnabas had not opened that door. And Paul actually couldn't open the door for himself. And I believe that there are some people around us that they can't open doors for themselves. But when we live the Barnabas way and when we lead the Barnabas way, we get to open up doors for people. We get to open up the door of salvation, a message that they may have never heard before. We can open the door of freedom by discipling someone who may be coming behind us in the faith, that we get to open doors for people that they can't open for themselves.
I think this is so huge because really, in order to be a son or a daughter of encouragement, we truly have to believe that opening a door for someone else isn't a loss for us.
That's right. So good. That's
and
right.
Barnabas, he knew that opening this door for Paul wasn't a loss for him,
That's
but it was
right.
a win for everyone. It takes a lot of personal confidence to decide that there's enough opportunity to
right.
go around
That's right.
mm-hmm. to open a door for someone else. I love leaders and people that do this. They don't have a scarcity mindset. Mm-hmm. They're going, there's enough room to go around
That's right.
for everyone to step
mm-hmm.
into the God call on
yep.
their life. And
yep.
I just thought it would be amiss to not take a moment here and just recognize how you've done that for so mm-hmm. many girls and guys of our house. Pastor Julie, you have really opened so many mm-hmm. doors. You are a Barnabas, you are a Doe to so many of us, but especially me. You have opened so many doors for me to step into.
Oh.
And so thank you for not just teaching about the Barnabas way, but really living it out. But I know there's more. So let's keep going. The Barnabas way.
The Barnabas way.
We got to
open doors. For people that can't open them for themselves, there's people that don't know what we know. They haven't experienced what we've experienced. And we get the privilege of opening doors for people that come behind us. I also see that the Barnabas way is that when other people saw a problem, Barnabas saw an opportunity. When other people saw Paul for the mistakes that he's made in his past, Barnabas saw the future that God had for him. And I love that Barnabas, he didn't actually have a firsthand experience with that. But Barnabas actually prophesied over Saul's potential. Barnabas prophesied over his potential. He spoke up for him. And this is what we get to do, you know, that when other people see problems, we see potential and we see the opportunity to prophesy over someone's potential.
Hey everyone, Carissa here. You know, one of my favorite things I love most about the podcast is the conversations I get to have with my friends. From favorite quotes to so good moments to devotionals, Show Notes Plus gives me the opportunity to discuss and dive deeper into the content. It's also a great way to stay up to date on everything happening in sisterhood. Click the link in our show notes so you don't miss out on anything.
Whenever I think about prophesying over someone's potential, I go back to when my son Jefferson was like 13 years old and he was in those middle school kind of awkward years. Middle school's rough for everyone.
It's rough for everyone.
And he had some really significant challenges and his self-esteem was just at an all-time low. And I remember we just decided, you know, he was going to take guitar lessons. It was just, again, are you going to do Taekwondo or theater? Like you're always like, you know, when you're in middle school, you're just trying to figure out who you are. And so he started taking guitar lessons with a guy in our church that is still in our church today. His name is Danny Zayas. And shout out to Zayas Studios. You have raised up a generation of worship leaders in our house. Thank you. We love you. And we'll link their website in our show notes. But Danny Zayas, man, he was a 24-year-old, just had gotten married. And Jefferson started guitar lessons with him. And before Jefferson could ever play a song, before he had ever been on a platform, Danny looked at him and said, Jefferson, you are a worship leader. And Jefferson spent the next 5 years stepping into the word that was spoken over him.
Wow.
And Danny just, when Jefferson could only see the problems in himself, Danny saw the potential and he began to call out the potential. And I think it's just so beautiful because that word, that intentional prophetic word in that season marked his life, right? And so he's like, I am a worship leader. And he began to hone that skill and really work that word, right? Prepare for what he was praying for. And today he is leading worship, you know, in middle school and high school and Celebrate Recovery. And it's just amazing to see. I look back and I go, man, I don't know if he would be where he was today had that word not been spoken over him. And this is what God does with, you know, with the people that he partners with. He opens our eyes to see things that other people might miss. He gives us a spiritual vision, right? And I even think about as believers that as we love people the Barnabas way, that when other people see problems, we see potential. When other people see a generation that's lost its way or a generation that might be too far gone, we are constantly looking for opportunities to be able to invest in the next generation, to call out the potential and purpose within them. When other people see addiction, we see the opportunity for a miracle. The Barnabas way is to actually ask God for spiritual vision to see things and see the potential in people that other people miss.
I love that because it's so easy to see a problem, but it does take some mining sometimes to see the potential in a situation or a person. And I love that story with Danny and Jefferson. And, you know, I think harsh words and criticism and comparison truly have become the language of our culture, right? Mm-hmm. But the call up to be the daughters of encouragement, to speak a better word, to speak life, to speak a prophetic word, an anointed word over somebody. Hopefully we're not speaking harsh words, but even to go, I'm going to have a fresh Holy Spirit word for someone is the Barnabas way. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Encountering someone like that will change everything.
It changes everything. And again, you hit the nail on the head. This is countercultural because, you know, you said it like criticism, comparison, cancel culture. Those are the words of our day. And I really believe that cancel culture, criticism, comparison, competition, they've just become a weapon in the enemy's hands to keep us isolated because, you know, he knows that the only battle we can't win is the one we try to fight on our own. So he is going to try to separate us, right? To keep us from the places and spaces where we can encounter him, to keep us as sisters, you know, brothers and sisters separated. And again, the Barnabas way is that we are going to speak a different word. We're going to speak a better word. We are going to speak, you know, words of encouragement and find ways to encourage each other.
I love that. Okay, so we've got to open doors. We've got to see potential over problems.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Yeah. Okay, so Barnabas, like if you read scripture, he opened doors and he opened his hand and he gave what he had. He was generous. It says that he actually sold this field and came and laid it at the apostles' feet. And I love that because the truth is he was a Levite, and that means from Cyprus. And that means he was a business guy, actually. And in this time, in ancient times, when you sold a piece of land, it wasn't like you could like go buy another one 3 weeks later, right? So this was actually, he wasn't just giving financially, he was giving up some social status because then landowners made all the decisions. So the landowners in that day were the ones that made the decisions for the entire community. And so when he gave this up, like he sacrificed for the cause of Christ. He gave generously, not out of, you know, not out of abundance, but out of sacrifice. And so when he did this, this generosity meant that he was always thinking generosity is others focused. It's not looking at what we can get from someone, but it's looking for what we're believing that God wants to use to be able to build into someone else's life. And when I think about, you know, just that he was generous again with his finances, he was generous with everything he had, he was generous with his encouragement. And there's a study that was done recently that 77% of people that leave their job, they leave because they feel unappreciated.
Wow.
Not because they're underpaid, not because they're not reaching their full potential, but because they feel underappreciated. And generous means that we're always adding to someone else's purpose, right? That we're adding to their lives, adding to their purpose. And I think that people just gravitate to places where they feel valued. And it's why so many kids end up in gangs. It's because they're being lured by bad influences because they value them. It's where they feel valued. And feeling valued is so powerful. And I think about this again, living our lives and loving people the Barnabas way. They're not always going to remember everything we say, but they're going to remember how we made them feel. And that in our lives, in our leadership, that we cultivate this culture of generosity around us, generous with our words, generous with adding value to others, and just speaking like affirmation. And, you know, we've said this before on our team. It's like, you know, how much do people really need to be encouraged? And I remember hearing someone say that, you know, twice as much as you think they do. Like, you need to encourage people twice as much as you think they need to be encouraged, and then double it. Like, that there is such a deficit. Like, we spend courage every single day in the spiritual battles that we're fighting, and there's such a deficit of encouragement. And I don't think that we know just how bankrupt so many people, so many of the people that walk through our doors of the church every single week, so many people that we come in contact with, that there is such a void of encouragement because, like you said, it's countercultural. And the importance of us speaking a different word and being the one that is always going to be the one that's going to be giving somebody else courage. And they're going to remember that the way that we made them feel.
Yeah, this makes me think of Proverbs 11:24, where it says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, mm-hmm. but the world of the stingy gets smaller mm-hmm. and smaller.
Yeah.
And you just, I mean, obviously that doesn't make sense mm-hmm. by worldly standards, right?
No.
The generous gets larger and larger, but you don't mm-hmm. lose anything mm-hmm. when you're generous.
Yeah.
You only gain
That's
in
right.
the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love that. This conversation has been so challenging because what we're talking about is encountering someone who has this personal leadership culture of encouragement.
Right.
The Barnabas mm-hmm. way is mm-hmm. truly a culture that you carry. Mm-hmm. It's who you are. And so I want to talk to the leaders for a minute,
yeah.
the leader girls that are listening. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've just unpacked like a total mm-hmm. leadership lesson. If you could hit a few just like key leadership nuggets,
yeah,
what would you want to leave us with?
Wow. That is such a great question. And I think sometimes as leaders and as spiritual leaders, what I mean by spiritual leaders is, you know, maybe we're leading in the church, but maybe that we are carrying God's kingdom, you know, and his presence into the workplace, right? And some of you girls are out there crushing it in the workplace, or maybe it's leading your children week after week and investing in them, but you're a leader because you have influence. But when I think about the Barnabas way of leadership, the first thing that comes to mind is that we have this sacred responsibility. And when we are in a position to lead somebody else, whether it's in the workplace or in the church or leading our kids, and it's weighty. When you think about that word again, encouragement, that paraclesis, that I'm an advocate, I'm going to come alongside. And again, what does the Holy Spirit do? He helps us to become someone that we could have never become on our own. He helps us to do things that we could have never done on our own. And when you think about like the Barnabases that have impacted our lives, right? That there's been someone in our path that helped us to become who we are today, that we would not have become. Danny was a Barnabai in Jefferson's life. He helped him become someone he could have never become on his own. And he did it. It takes intentionality, right? And when I think about opening doors that someone can't open for themselves, I think about, you know, in the workplace that, wow, just spending that extra time when someone's coming into the workplace and maybe they're new on the job and maybe they're having a hard time acclimating to the culture. Opening a door means, you know, what can I do to open a door so that they can have an opportunity that they could only get if I open the door for them? Bring them into a meeting that they're maybe not quite ready for, or letting them ride with you to lunch, to spend some time answering some questions. I think that for us to be able to invest in and find people, and again, I'm not just talking about the people that maybe are, that were their boss or their supervisor. I'm talking about anybody that we have influence over. And then also looking at problems as opportunities to prophesy over people's potential means that, you know, maybe there's someone, we had this staff lesson a few months ago and they said, don't be an Eeyore, right? And we all know who Eeyore is.
Yeah.
And we were talking about being an Eeyore, having an Eeyore on your team. And I think sometimes like if you have an Eeyore on your team, that's actually a problem that could be an opportunity. And then another thing I think of is that for Barnabas, it wasn't his position, it was his reputation. And a reputation isn't what we do occasionally, it's who we are consistently. And building a reputation that we're going to be generous with our words, we're going to be generous with our time, that we're going to be known as the first person to encourage, the first person to champion somebody else's leadership. And when other people see a problem or a deficit, that we actually see the opportunity to prophesy over potential. And what that means is don't give up on people too soon, right? I mean, you might have some young leaders. I heard someone say recently that they had a young leader on their team and they said, well, they're just not intuitive. And I'm like, They're 22. They haven't lived long enough to be intuitive yet. I mean, all of us have like this informed intuition, and we, as leaders, we actually get to inform somebody else's intuition. We actually get to share our wisdom to be able to help someone along so that they can step into their full potential. So those are just a few things.
I love it. I mean, that's like leadership gold right there. But we could even zoom out and just go, gosh, what could heaven look like?
Yeah.
If a lost and dying world could encounter every day a consistent daughter of encouragement, what could God do through a church that leads like that, that loves like
that? I know,
that?
Right? You know, when you said, you said that the world of the generous gets larger and larger. And I think about Barnabas's world. He didn't lose anything when he opened the door for Paul, and how large. Like, we were a part of Barnabas's world because how large it was. And I just think that is, that's so profound that our encounter with God and our decision to be a son and a daughter of encouragement is actually going to have like ripple effects through generations.
I love it. This has been such a rich conversation. Thank you so much for jumping in and listening today. Don't forget to keep sending in your questions so we can answer them on our podcast each week, but we'll see you next time on the So Good Sisterhood podcast.
Thank you for joining us today for the So Good Sisterhood podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share this podcast with a friend, or leave us a comment. We hope today's episode leaves you feeling so good.